Matthew chapter 18. The message today is about the certainty of the promises of God, but we shall also consider uncertainties as well. I'm going to read you an uncertainty, and then I'm going to read you a certainty. And both of them have to do with the same undertaking of God. First of all, the uncertainty. Matthew 18, look at verse 12. How think ye? If any man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and go unto the mountain, and seek that which goeth astray? And if so be that he find it. Does it say he finds it? No. You say, if so be that he find it. Verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not a thing willed of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not his will that one should perish, if so be that he find it. That's uncertainty. Now Luke 15, we're going to read about a certainty here. Notice it's concerning the same sheep. And he spake unto them in verse 3, this parable saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he laid it on his shoulders, and he comes home. You say, well, that's remarkable. He searches until he finds it, and when he finds it, he brings it home safely. Yes. The same parable in Luke 15 and in Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, the uncertainty of the shepherd finding the sheep gone astray. In Luke 15, the certainty of it. Now, turn to John 6. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Again, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. And one other scripture, look in John 17. John 17. Our Savior, in his prayer, says in verse 2, that he was given authority over all flesh, that to all whom thou hast given me, I should give eternal life. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the way that you have placed truth in the scriptures. We confess that we would weed out all of these difficult portions, these apparent contradictions, and harmonize them and make them clear. But then, our Father, it would be our words and not yours. We are thankful for the way that thou hast presented the truth to us. So by thy Spirit, let us seek out the interpretation of these things. We have read words, the words that came from the lips of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We prize them more highly every day. They have not become of any greater value. They were infinite in value from the start, but we have come to value them more every day. We thank you for this, our God. We thank you that upon the foundation on which we placed our feet so many years ago, we have not become afraid of that foundation. But we rejoice in the certainty of that foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And we are thankful that He is an immovable foundation. We are thankful for each one here who is resting upon that foundation. It is our desire, because it is Thy desire, that all men should rest upon that foundation. So by Thy Spirit, in the hearts of men this day, and upon the lips of him who speaks, by Thy Spirit, accomplish this, our God. You know our sins, we confess them. You have promised to be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, so fulfill that promise. We commit all unto Thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. How many souls are going to hell because you have failed to tell them the gospel of the grace of God? I will answer that for you. Not one. I've heard the exhortation, and evidently it was good. So many exhortations are given, but they are not scriptural, that we must go or else individuals will perish. We must tell them the gospel or souls will go to hell. And if you think it through, you say, yes, because they must hear the message. But when I read that portion in John chapter 6 and think it through, tell me how many are going to perish that wanted to be saved. The Savior said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Now, do you believe that? You say, yes. Well, then, if all that the Father has given him are going to come to him, how many are not going to come to him? You say, all that have been given to him are going to come to him. Well, how many are not going to come? You say, why, all of them are going to come. Then how many are going to be lost that have been given to Christ by the Father? You say, not one. And that is the truth of God. This is the exhortation, that because of your negligence, the kingdom coming shall be delayed. But because of your negligence, not one soul shall be lost. God will see to it that if you will not go, if you will not speak, another shall. And God, speaking of things that He knows, concerning those that He has given to the Son, it says that He calls every one of them. So He is the one that arranges for the call to get to them. And so today, while I'm telling you about uncertainties, I'm telling you about the certainty of every soul who wants to be saved being saved. There will never be a soul in hell who can say to God, I wanted to be saved, but you would not let me. I wanted to be saved, but I never learned how to be saved. That is not so. I told you also, and this was the only conjecture that I had to make, about those, like those little ones, who before they had ability to decide, that God would project them and they would have a chance. This is conjecture. But I am telling you in like manner that God has determined that all that He gives to the Son are going to receive the call. And the call comes through the message of the Word of God. The Savior says this. He said, Father, You have empowered me. You've given me authority over all flesh, that to all that You have given me, I should give eternal life. He said, and this is eternal life, that they should know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou didst send. And so the Savior says, I give it, but in what way? He says, this is life eternal, that they should know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou didst send. So the Savior has said this, that the Father has determined that the ones that have been given to Christ shall come to Christ, and those that come he shall in no wise cast out, and when they come, he gives them eternal life by the knowledge of the Father and of himself. So I can look at one portion of the Word of God, and it is ever so simple. But what has happened is that some have looked at it in this simplistic way, and it brushed aside all other portions in the Bible. And others look at the Bible only at the difficult portions and brush aside all these certain portions that I have given. So the Scripture tells us at the same time of uncertainty and of certainty concerning the sheep that have gone astray. It says, if a sheep go astray, which of you would not go out and look for that sheep that's gone astray? You say, yes, we would do that. But in Matthew 18 it says, and if so be that he find it. It doesn't say there that he finds it. He says, if he finds it. And that's the sad thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ has been searching and searching and searching, and it may so be that he shall never find you. Not because of his inability, but because of something on your part. Do you remember that at the very first, when man had sinned, God was seeking, and man was hiding. And if man will allow God, he shall always be found. The only sheep that are never found are those that run and will not allow God to find them. So the uncertainty is entirely yours. If it's left to God, it is a certainty. Because that's what occurs in Luke 15. He says, which of you, and now, it's not emphasizing the sheep and its behavior, but it is emphasizing the certitude of the shepherd and his success in finding it. He said, doth not go and seek the lost until he finds it. And once he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and he gets it home. That's delightful. And that's the way I want to think about myself. You see, I was lost and the Lord found me and I'm on his shoulders and he won't let me get off until I get home. Now, that's delightful. But there are some of you that the Lord is seeking and you will not allow him to find you. And so for that reason, it says, if so be that he find it, the uncertainties have to do with you. The certainties have to do with God. Now let me tell you a certainty, that there is no man who genuinely wants to be saved who shall remain lost. There is no man who genuinely wants to know the truth of God that shall not know the truth of God, no matter how many conflicts doctrines of salvation are set before him. The Lord Jesus makes this promise. He said, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. That's a promise from God. If you are willing to do God's will, you shall know of the teaching, whether it be of myself or whether it be of God. So no one in the future is ever going to say to God, well, I wasn't able to figure it out. God says, I determine that it shall be understood if you are willing to do my will. But some understand what it means to do God's will, and therefore they will not understand. Let me give you an example. There was a blind man in John chapter 9. He has been miraculously healed. And the parents are sought out by the enemies of Christ. They're questioned about his son. And they are evasive. They would get away from the fact that Jesus Christ has opened the eyes of their son. And the reason is this. They heard that if anybody confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be excommunicated. Therefore, they are not willing to do God's will. And because of that, they shall not know. But if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. So it doesn't matter who comes at your door. Whether they're Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or modernists or freethinkers, it makes no difference. With all the messages they bring you, someone bringing you the truth of God, if you are willing to do God's will,
God determines that His Spirit will reveal this unto you. So all of these who say, oh, I want to be saved, but I cannot understand. That is a lie. It is a matter of the will. Someone says, well, I would be saved, but God doesn't want me to be saved. That is a lie. And that is why I quoted to you, as it is in the original, Matthew 18. The Savior saying, if so be that He find it, He wants to find that sheep. He does not find all sheep, because the sheep will not allow themselves to be found. But it says, it is not a thing willed of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. And so if somebody says, it's your will, the Savior said, it is not a thing willed of my Father that one of these little ones should perish. And there is no man who has ever approached God and cried for mercy who has been refused. All of those who have a claim upon God for mercy. And I told you that in the book of Romans, it says that Christ has been made a minister of the circumcision to fulfill the promises made to the fathers. There are promises that Jesus Christ must fulfill because the Father made those promises. But it speaks about the Gentiles and God's mercy. Therefore, if God does something for the Gentiles, it's an act of mercy. If He did something for the Jews, it was a promise that He had made, starting with Abraham. Therefore, when any man cries to the Lord, whether Jew or Gentile, whether promise is made in the past or not, I have searched and I've never found in the New Testament any man who cried to our Savior for mercy who did not receive that mercy. Even for one who had no claim upon the Savior for mercy. The Syrophoenician woman came and was beseeching the Lord for her child. And when she did, the Savior said, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she spoke to him and she said, that's correct, Lord, because even the little dogs under the table, they eat of the master's crumbs, not the children's bread. And the Lord said, woman, go your way. There is no one on record who ever came to the Lord Jesus Christ and cried for mercy who did not receive that mercy. But there is one exception for a man who cried for mercy and never received it. It was a man who was in hell. It says that the rich man in hell cried to Abraham and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and touch it to my tongue. And Abraham said, no. And so while you're in the land of the living, you may call upon the name of the Lord and He will hear your cry. And if you feel, well, I'm an outsider, it makes no difference. The Syrophoenician woman came and called upon the name of the Lord. And when she called upon our Lord, and she said, Lord, have mercy upon me. The Lord Jesus cannot refuse anyone who approaches Him and says, have mercy upon me. It makes no difference of his own nation. If the person who cries for mercy is a traitor, like unto a tax gatherer who is cast in his lot with Rome, the enemies of Israel. When he went into the temple and would not lift up his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man went home justified. So it makes no difference if you are of the chosen of God and have dishonored your nation. If you have become a traitor, but you call upon God, God will hear your cry of mercy. And if you be an outsider, not a part of the chosen people, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what God wants us to know. And God would have you to understand that it is not a thing willed of the Father, my heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus says, that one of these little ones should perish. You say, well then, if it's not His will that they should perish, then they're not going to perish. Oh yes, many are going to perish, because the Savior was asked, are there few saved? And the Savior said, many are lost. Will you remember that? Lord, are there few that are saved? He answered it, there are many that are
lost.
Therefore, as for many and few, there are few saved, there are many lost. Our Savior has said that. But why? If it's not the thing willed of your Father that one should perish, I have told you that God has set forth salvation, not only the Godward side, but the manward side. And we have no incident of any man who was unwilling to be saved that was ever saved. It is always a response in a positive way to the call of God, whatever it may be. There must be that inclination toward God when He draws. And if there is that inclination, then God will save. But God does not save unless there is that positive response toward His call. Listen to this, and I want you to understand two verses of Scripture and then a third. I want you to hear how the Savior deals. And I want you to understand how the Father deals. And I want you to understand why, if the Father and Son feel this way, there is not the carrying out of that which is the Father's will. What is the Father's will? It is not the thing willed of your Father that one of these little ones should perish. This is what the Savior says. He says personally, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings? And ye would not. Did you understand? He said, how often would I? He said, you would not. And because you will not, he says, your house is left unto you desolate. If you will not, he leaves you to yourself. He said, how often would I? Do not tell me God does not want you saved. And only certain things that he's arranged are going to happen. And the others he doesn't want to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance through a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let anyone deceive you. As I heard this man saying, oh, if I only knew that I was among the elect. The only time you ever learn that you're among the elect is when you as a sinner call upon the name of the Lord. And as soon as you call upon the name of the Lord, you say, well, I was among the elect. You will never find out until you respond to his calling. Now, this, the Savior said, how often would I, you would not. Listen to this. It says in John 5, he said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. You are reading the word of God. They testify of me. He said, and you will not come unto me that you may have eternal life. You understand? The scripture tells you the way of salvation. And having been told the way of salvation, the Savior says, you will not respond. You will not come to me that you may have life. Well, the scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Yes. But there must be the faith in Jesus Christ. You will not come to me. So the Savior says, how often would I, but you would not. Your house is left unto you desolate. He said, the scriptures speak of me. He said, you will not come unto me. You are not going to get eternal life. And the Father says in Ezekiel chapter 33, he says, concerning Israel, he says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you perish, O house of Israel? He says, let the wicked forsake his way. And he tells them that if they will turn, he says, he will have mercy. He will pardon. But unless they turn, they will not. And this is what the Savior, this is what the Father, this is what the Spirit of God have undertaken. It is the salvation of men. And the certainty, and everything is certainty now. The certainty is that if you are willing to do God's will, you shall be saved. It is certain that God does not want any to be saved, and God has said that it is certain that if you call upon the name of His Son, you shall be saved. The only uncertainty is in your response. God knows all. But the only uncertainty is whether you will allow Him to find you. Now, what I wanted to do today was to show you that all is going to turn out precisely as God promised, with all the discouragement, with all the failures, with the thought in mind, the foundations are being destroyed. Such shall the righteous do. The foundation shall never be destroyed. It can be attacked, and truth can be denied, but the foundation shall never be destroyed, because that foundation is Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so we look, and here is what I'm thinking, that there are fewer than there were in the past. Therefore, I wonder if everything is going to work out. Yes, everything is going to work out. And the Savior said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure that you would use the kingdom. But we're a little flock. Why, of course, he said, and it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And it says in Revelation chapter 11, it says, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the Lord Jesus does not speak in any uncertain terms. Concerning Peter and Andrew and James and John, Peter says, Lord, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? And the Savior says, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, he already speaks of it as if it's accomplished. Even though he hasn't gone to the cross and borne our sins in his own body on the tree, he is speaking of the glory that should follow. They wanted to set aside the sufferings that must first occur. But the Savior, even before those sufferings have occurred, speaks of the glory that will follow. And therefore, he wants us to understand all of these things. Everything shall turn out right in the end. That is why it says in Luke 15, that is the Godward side, the Christward side. He's looking for those lost ones. And it says, and he'll look for him until he finds it. And no one can escape the search and the success of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is gone after those that are lost. And for this reason, what I did was to look through all the Gospels, every chapter, to see the success of the Lord Jesus, to see at times how easy it was, to see at times how difficult it was, to see at times how impossible it was. That on occasion, the Lord Jesus approaches Peter and Andrew, and he says, follow me. No hesitation, they follow him. James and John, follow me. They follow him. Comes to Levi, Matthew, sitting at the toll. He says, follow me. He gets up and follows him. He says, well, there's nothing to it. Why, if Jesus calls, everybody has to follow. No. In Luke chapter 9, a young man comes to him and he says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And the Savior says, you will. He said, let me tell you a condition of those that follow me. The foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nest, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You hear nothing more about the man. And the Savior says to another, follow me. He said, I will follow you, but let me go home first and bury my father. You understand? Let me go and say farewell to my loved one. Oh, Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Every time the Lord Jesus approached the man and invited him to follow, he did not follow. Understand that the Lord Jesus is seeking that sheep. But these are sheep that it so be that he finds. And here, and let me have you understand what I'm telling you. The Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. As God, he knows everything. But at times, the Father allows him to know only certain things. He says, at that day and hour knoweth no man, not the Son. If he said it, do not argue with it. As to his manhood, the Father sees fit to tell him certain things now and then. And concerning that, the Savior is talking to that rich young ruler, and the interview, the discussion, is going so well, you say, how that man's going to be saved? And the Lord Jesus says to him, he said, if you would be perfect, go sell what you have, distribute to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. He said, come, follow me. You say, I know how this is going to turn out. And it says that that young man's countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, because he was not prepared to part with his riches. I say that I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, in hope, went seeking to find sheep, but if so be that he find it, this man said no to the Lord Jesus. There was absolutely nothing on Christ's path that prevented him from saving this man, making him unable to save that man. But that young man said, no, I'm not going to be saved. Understand this, that both are set forth in Scripture. You realize that the Bible teaches that there are some things that God cannot do? You say yes, and they're not tricks. This is what it says in the Scripture. It says, if we are faithless, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So God has told us that he is unable to deny himself. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, God says there are certain things impossible for me to do. And another is to be self-contradictory. And another is to have an imbalance of his mercy and his righteousness. But you realize that the Scripture said that the Savior who said, all power is given unto me. It says in Mark chapter 6, he was unable, he had no power to heal them there. You say he had no power? Yes. And if you read Matthew, it says he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Now, listen to this. God challenges and tells us in Isaiah 59, he says, my hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is my ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And it says your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear. God says, I have the power. He said, but it's your sins. And the only sinner that Christ never finds is one who continues in his sins, who will not forsake his sins, who will not forsake the wicked way. Because God says, that is all that I'm waiting for. I have exerted my spirit upon your heart, drawing and telling you toward me. And he says, now, respond to that call, and you will be saved. He said, resist, and you will not be saved. It is just that simple. But I told you that there is not one soul who wants to be saved, not one whom the Father has given to Christ who shall not be saved. And that is why, when you look at life that is so natural, you look at it carefully and you see the hand of God. I told you about blind Bartimaeus crying, and the Lord Jesus Christ says, bring him here. I told you about that impotent man in John chapter 5, and the Lord Jesus walks up to him and says, do you want to be made whole? I told you about the blind man in John chapter 9, and how easy his conversation with him goes. After he opens his eyes, he goes to him and he says, do you believe in the Son of God? He says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? He says, you've both seen him, and he it is that speaketh with thee. He says, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Isn't that elementary? So simple. And others, he says, how often would I? You would not, you will not come to me. And so, all of those that will to know the truth, that will to come to Jesus Christ, they will come to Jesus Christ, and not one will be missing. The Savior is walking along. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I have to go to your house today. The day of salvation comes to this house. The thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus says, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The Philippian jailer, the Ethiopian eunuch, there will not be one soul missing, and everything seems so natural. And the Lord Jesus at times says, yes, here is Zacchaeus, here is the Philippian jailer, here is Lydia. And the Lord Jesus says, concerning Corinth, he says, I have many people in this city. So understand this, whether it be so or not, and this anecdote by Spurgeon, he said, O God, he said, save all the elect, and after you save them, save some more. Now, you can't want any more than that. And some people, understand, I said, some people interpret, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. So there is nothing in the Word of God that would ever cause us to believe that because it did not happen before, it cannot happen now. The example that I've given you is the Syrophoenician woman who had no claim upon the Lord. She said, "Have mercy upon me," and the Savior could not refuse. God has glorious things in store for those that love Him, and He wants you to have a share in it. Will you come? Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that with all the discouragement, with our being a little flock, with the attacks that are made, with the truths that are being denied, we are so thankful that your Son speaks with certainty, not only uncertainty being as to whether the obdurate, stubborn wills of man will yield to the demands of Jesus Christ. We are so thankful that whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we are thankful for this certainty, that whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So may all this day have a share in the glorious things that are certain in the future by calling upon the name of the Lord, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.